Good morning, friends. I am so excited for this week of the year. I always love this week. It's in between Christmas and New Year. It's from when we put away that last bit of Christmas decorations and we wait for the ball to drop in Times Square on New Year's Eve. And it's an interesting kind of hallway of a week. And I always find myself kind of introspective. I re-examine and I look at the concept of time in my life. And when I look at another 365 days ahead of me, I wonder, what will I do with them? Why am I here? Maybe that's a deep question for a holiday week, but I think it's an important one. And so this morning, we're going to turn to an unlikely source for to get some help with the idea of purpose. I want to turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet in Judah in 600 BC. He was called to a dangerous people who had a dangerous enemy, and he has a million reasons not to want to be a prophet in this place at this time. And the thing about the Bible is it's not so much one book as it is this whole library of 66 books telling one story. You can pull, if you had like a 66-volume set of encyclopedias on American history, you could pull out one volume that deals with the race riots in the 60s, but you won't get a complete picture without the volume that explains also the Civil War, and that's how the Bible is. The stories that we pull out, whether the book that you choose to read is exciting or poetic or beautiful or boring, all of the books of the Bible are leading and telling about Jesus. They're leading us to Jesus, to redemption, to a Savior. And so when we read Jeremiah through the lens of the story of God, that it is all about God loving his people and God loving us, then we understand and it changes everything. The word of the Lord came to me. This is Jeremiah 1:5. The word of the Lord came to me. I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. God knew something about the substance of Jeremiah. Did you hear that line? I knew you before you were born. I chose you before you were formed in the womb. There is something of the substance of Jeremiah that exists before the person of Jeremiah. And when I read that, I wondered, what is it? What existed of who Jeremiah was before his actual person came to be? And I think it was his purpose. It says right here in the text, before you were even born, when you were formed in the womb, I set you apart. There was a purpose for which you were created and called. I think before Jeremiah even became a glimmer in his mom and dad's eye, I think he was known by God, formed by God. And God said, I'm going to craft a prophet to the nations, and then I'm going to surround it with muscle and blood and bone and sinew and send it into 600 BC Jerusalem to be a prophet to the nations. God knew what Jeremiah was going to do with the time that he was given. I think this can help us understand the concept of purpose. Our purpose, I believe, is the truest thing about us. It's more true than the color of our hair or our height or weight or our business card or our resume or our education. It's more true than our personality or our sense of humor. Our purpose is the truest thing about us. It aligns up with the Imago Dei, the image of God inside of us. And if we'll connect to it, since we're made in his image, our truest purpose will always echo the storyline of God's creation, which is create, restore, redeem. That's what God is always up to. You can Bible roulette it. You can put your finger any place in the Bible and you will find that God is up to either creating something and then we mess it up because we're human, and then he restores it, and then he leads us to redemption. Create, restore, redeem. And so if my purpose is lined up with the purpose of God, my purpose is always going to be to help create something or to partner with him in restoring something or to help someone understand his redemption. That's my purpose. That's your purpose too. And if this was just in Jeremiah, I wouldn't preach it, because it's not enough. But listen to all the ways we see this in the Word of God. Psalm 139, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before even one of them came to be. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. Philippians 1:4, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Can you see how God set for you a purpose, wrote all the days ordained for you? God has created us on purpose for a purpose. And sometimes that's good news, and sometimes it's difficult news. His call in Jeremiah's life would have looked thankless and dangerous and probably impossible. But it was still the unique purpose for which Jeremiah was set apart. The thing about the purpose of God for our lives is it's not a title on a business card, and it's not a master's degree, and it's not for later in life when you figured yourself out. Purpose is for right now, right where you are. But if we imagine it as a title, like prophet to the nations, we can miss it when it comes to us, and it comes to us every day. God sometimes calls us to a purpose that is wonderful and winsome and exciting, like marriage or a new job or a promotion or a mission adventure, a new baby or a new business. God said to Abraham, I'm going to make you a very great nation with descendants like stars in the sky. That's exciting. But sometimes God calls us to a purpose that is thankless and dangerous and impossible. The mission of Jim Elliot as he sacrificed his life, Christians in Iraq. Perhaps you felt the mission to visit your family on Christmas was like one of those. Maybe it felt thankless and difficult and impossible. Maybe your purpose is just being a light to your very dark workplace. God said to Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. That's dangerous and impossible, but it was the purpose for which he was created. Sometimes God calls us to a purpose that is actually boring and basic and mundane. Get out of debt. Take care of aging parents. Work a boring job faithfully for way longer than you want to. Finish school, change another diaper, make another peanut butter sandwich, drive in the carpool for 17 years, stay married to the same person for the long haul. Sometimes the purpose of God is one foot in front of the other, day after day after day after day. God said to the children of Israel in captivity, in 70 years, I'll set you free. Until then, pray for the peace of this city. That's what you're going to do. That's going to be your purpose as you sit here in captivity. It's not exciting, but it's purpose, and it's real, and it's God. I have been so fortunate in my life to be a writer and a speaker and a pastor and a wife and a mom, but those are job descriptions, and job descriptions are always changing. In 2015, I had been a wife for 30 years. I had become my husband's full-time caregiver as he battled ALS, and it was one of my primary identities. And in July of that year, in just one moment, I went from wife to widow. My life changed in every way. In 2019, I remarried, and my life changed from pastor back to wife as I settled into a new city and a new home, and I added the title stepmom, a new job description. Job descriptions and titles change, but my purpose has not. My purpose is to help people find their place in the story of God. That is my lifetime purpose. It will never change. It will never alter. That's why I'm alive. That's what I live for. I live for it as a pastor, and I will live for it from the rocking chair at the retirement home. That's my purpose. So my question to you, as we begin to peer into the promise of a new year, is just a really simple one. Why are you alive? Why are you here? What is it God has called you to? What is it that the new year might hold? Our God is the king of every adventure. I've told this story before, but the year my husband died, I had been just trying to stay safe. It had been such a hard battle. I hadn't been single for 30 years, and I was trying to figure it out, and I was still a mom. And so I just kind of decided I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to stay on the safe side of life. And then, much to my children's frustration, I have never seen Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit. And they had always been asking me to, and they even said, your sermons will be so much better if you would be willing to just watch these. But I just never did. And then Josiah and I took a trip on Thanksgiving weekend, the year my husband had died, and we decided to listen to The Hobbit on an Audible book as we drove. And it was really beautiful as we drove, but I was getting more and more frustrated because Bilbo Baggins just keeps getting into all kinds of trouble. And all he wants to do is stay in his hobbit hole with his blanket and cake and read a book. And that is my preferred life as well. That is what I want to do. I want to stay in my house and read a book and have a blanket. It's going to be the best thing. And then he gets swept along in all kinds of misadventures. He keeps getting in from one trouble to the next trouble to the next trouble. And then I was getting really frustrated because I was thinking, this is like not the life I want. And then he says this line, and the line honestly changed my life. He says to, is it Gandalf? It's Gandalf. I have people in the room helping me figure this out. He says to him, I just want to go to where it's safe. And Gandalf looks at him and smiles and says, there are no safe paths in this part of the world. You are over the edge of the wild now and in for all sorts of fun wherever you go. The edge of the wild. I played it over and over again in my car. I kept listening to the line and listening to the line, and I felt God inviting me into a new sense of adventure, a new sense of life and life abundantly. And I decided to take some wild leaps. I decided to do some things that I had never dreamed I could do. And it was one of the most beautiful decisions that I've made. Our God is the King of adventure. He is the Lord of every divine and holy mission. He is the priest of the priests, and he sends us to the dangerous, crazy, wild places. Every life has a calling. That's non-negotiable. But there's plenty of room for negotiation as to whether or not we embrace that calling. There's plenty of opportunity for us to say no to that calling. We can sometimes reject it altogether. We can choose an easier life or a safer life. We can choose a more exciting life than the boring life that we feel is in front of us. We can do all those things, or else we can say yes to it and live a no. Or we can negotiate and try to figure it out. Sometimes whether or not we say yes to it is optional, but sometimes it isn't. Not for Christians in Iraq. Or for my friend who's a cancer survivor and an amazing voice to the community. Because even though the cancer for her wasn't optional, the choice to embrace it was. She could have buried herself at home in her bitterness, but instead she saw an opportunity to do more than survive it. She decided to let it launch her into a life of writing about hope and speaking about hope and reaching thousands of people with the message of eternal hope. She was much safer before cancer. But I will tell you, her life is neither boring nor sad. With every mission of every flavor, exciting, exhausting, impossible, whatever it is, we have all the power in the world to determine how we will view it. What narrative will we write around it? And we have at our disposal plenty of reasons to say no and stay safe. We can say we're too young. That's what Jeremiah said. I'm too young. I can't do that. We can be too young, too old, too broke, too broken, too busy. It's just bad timing. I never say an outright no to the call of God, but I say a lot of as soon as I get around to it, and then I don't get around to it. I think the very best and most effective way to view the call of God on our life, whatever category it falls into, is adventure. This is the adventure of loving and serving a beautiful, wonderful, exciting God. The purpose of your life and the purpose of God for your life is not for someday. It's for today. It exists within each moment. Our feet are planted on this spot on our timeline. We're right here on December 29th. But the purpose of God, his eternal purpose, is all around us. It fills every cell in our universe. His purpose is sure and certain, and we're in the middle of it. When we walk into Target or drive a carpool or sit with a friend who is in sorrow, the purpose of God is there when we respond to our kids or we call our lonely parents or we pay for their stranger's coffee. A perfect line you could actually use to start every day with is, what are we gonna do today, God? What are we gonna do? Who do you want me to see? I was made to love people. How can I love people well? I have some love to give. Who should I give it to? How do I live out the purpose of God in my life for this moment, in this place where I've been planted? There are no safe paths in this part of the world. The edge of the wild will send you into all sorts of fun wherever you go if you listen for the purpose of God. How will you write the adventure that is waiting in 2025? 365 days, you will only have one chance to live. 52 weeks, 12 months, 1 year of life ahead of you. You could change a habit in 1 year. You could find a place to serve in 1 year. You could make new relationships and strengthen old ones. You could read through your Bible. You could commit to 10 minutes of prayer every day, and next year you will have logged 3,650 minutes, or over 60 hours of prayer. There are hundreds of decisions you will make this year, and there are hundreds of decisions that could change this year or change your life as you strengthen your soul. You could decide to not live the same year over and over again. I'm going to do something new. I'm going to do something true this year. What would make 2025 the best year ever? Not a new job description, but the awareness of your purpose, the adventure for which you were uniquely created. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your life and love poured out for us. We thank you for the purpose that you have planted inside each one of us, and we ask that you would cause us to hear and know what it is you're saying to us as we enter a new year with new hope, new vision, and new love. We worship you and we love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.